Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change, here with Dr. Zara Larson on 104.1 The Truth in Tucson. Well, we've been an interesting show so far talking about vacations. We're going to have the opportunity now to have one of our first guests come up. And we welcome Mary Reedy. Mary, welcome on the line. Welcome to our show from the East Coast.
Thank you very much.
Great. It's a real pleasure. Yes, good to have you with us. Let me give a brief introduction. Dr. Mary Reedy is currently responsible for the successful integration of smart grid training modules into the National Grid's operation, National Grid being one of the power utility companies back east. This special endeavor is supported by the U.S. government's Department of Energy stimulus program, and it will also include development of smart grid degree programs at the bachelor's, master's, and PhD levels. Dr. Reedy is currently serving as a member of the IEEE Energy Policy Committee, which is responsible for the creation of key public policy on electric impacts of transformation of the transportation industry. Formerly, Dr. Reedy was responsible for the successful integration of new generation interconnections with National Grid's transmission business. She has over 20 years of experience in the energy industry, specializing in managing very large-scale, complex technical and financial-related customer projects while meeting customer satisfaction targets. Her research interests focus on investigating the strategic implementation, no surprise, of transitioning complex industries and their successes and failures in meeting customer needs. And her doctorate work, in fact, evaluated the price ratio arrangements in transitioning electric industries and its impact. In that regard, Dr. Reedy is also a licensed professional engineer in New York and has a master's in business and engineering and a bachelor's in electrical engineering and accounting. So that's quite a combo. She's been an active reviewer for IEEE engineering management conferences as well as the Academy of Management. So again, Mary, what an interesting space you're in to think you've invested 20 years to come to this spot where you are right now.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Larson. It's a pleasure speaking with you, and I think the transition in the electric industry is an environment that is just absolutely exciting and one that really starts to define the second generation of development in this industry's business model.
Well, you know, that's an interesting thought and comment, because I don't know that many people would understand that the public utility business is ripe for the kind of innovation and real major shifts that are underway.
That's absolutely correct. For about 100 years, this industry, electric power industry, has been operating under one fundamental model that was advanced by the innovation of Nikola Tesla back at the turn of last century, and certainly the business acumen of George Westinghouse. And so it's really been operating on, if you will, a centralized type of planning module, and it really has been somewhat of a closed system for the greater part of the last century. So we see smart grid as being a way to open up the industry and allow the convergence of three very important technologies, that being power, communications, and information technology.
Well, and I bet is that I can't imagine that's necessarily being braced by everyone. This must come across in some, for some people, a real threatening situation.
I think that's absolutely correct, Dr. Larson. Smart grid is what our company, National Grid, views as really the future of the second generation of this business model. And we've taken a very innovative approach and decided that before we implement any of the technology, we will bring the vendors and the manufacturers that develop the devices that will operate on the grid into our lab, and we'll run a performance scenario and really hook the devices up end to end to make sure that they properly work to our satisfaction before we would deploy them to the industry. Now, many other companies in the power field have chosen a different approach. Some of them have chosen to adopt solely the smart meter, and for them, that's the right mix of new technology. For National Grid, we see this a little differently, and we see that the meter is really the beginning, the enabler of the technology, and we would like to make sure that before we deploy it for our customers' benefits, that we're confident with the way in which it operates together and with the individual components operating satisfactorily with each other.
Well, that's an interesting thought. So you're saying that some people, and this is not uncommon in industry, I think we'll spend a lot of our time really working at the very end, or the tail of the dog, we'll call it, right? The part that's really going to touch the consumers. But without the attention of everything that leads up to it, that tail may not wag. Or if it does wag, it might be doing some things upstream that won't allow you to sustain your delivery then.
I think that's a wonderful way to explain it. We've had great experience with this particular approach to looking at the next wave of innovation. And what we found is that by bringing the vendors and the manufacturers of the different devices, the meters, the sensors, and the communications package together, and allowing them to see how opportunity A that may be upstream of them actually functions on the grid, then it allows them to, for the very first time, come together with their technical and sales folks and have a very different conversation, very unique conversation about what the design parameters were and what the operational reality really is. And so we found this to be extremely exciting. We think it'll allow us to actually speak very confidently in the next 18 months when we're ready to deploy.
I think the other idea, because this approach, when you open up your architecture, you open up the possibility for new partnerships. And lo and behold, if you or folks are facilitating these conversations between your various suppliers in the value stream, we'll call it, that suddenly they're going to start outpacing you with innovative ideas on how to improve the efficiency, on the cost, on dealing with obsolescence. I mean, that whole bailiwick of things. In fact, I'm reminded of the fact that back in my days in the automotive business, back in probably it was the mid-80s where it started to dawn on the big original equipment manufacturers that, you know, there's a lot of knowledge and know-how in the supply chain, and bringing those people into the process earlier right away started accelerating those shifts. So good for you.
I think that your example, I'm sorry, I think your example of the auto industry is so timely these days, because one of the things that we're seeing along with the development of smart grid are a development of electric vehicles. And one of the unique aspects of the electric vehicle for us in the power industry is really the expectation or the presumed expectation of how customers will actually choose to use those vehicles. So right now what we want to study is if you have a residential subdivision where one of every two homes has an electric vehicle, we really want to understand whether those electric vehicles will be plugged into the home at 5 p.m. every day by all of those customers, or whether there's some different performance characteristics, because where that really starts to affect the electric utility is really in terms of the size of the equipment that the electric utility has placed in that subdivision to serve those customers.
Well, and I think another great analogy of that is if you look at the homes, how perhaps we had X number of wall sockets in the past, but then when we started going towards, you know, a small electric fans, hair dryers, curling irons, electric shavers. I mean, I'm just thinking the bathroom as a standalone, let alone the home office with now the multitude of computers and other electronic devices that need to be charged. It puts a whole different stress on the system. So I think an interesting dynamic, what you're telling us is that you folks in the utility business have to look at that at a real high level, because you're looking at the stress at the overall grid that you are the stewards of.
That's absolutely correct. And in addition to the devices that you mentioned in the home, we also predict that there will be a considerable population density that chooses to use electric pool pumps, larger air conditioners, large green televisions. I think in some cases they can be upwards of 40 inches, and certainly multiple computers in the home. And all of those devices are very sensitive to any type of disturbance electrically. So for the traditional power utility, they now have to not only be concerned with the amount of capacity that they're presuming that residential development needs, but also the way in which the residential customers will use the power and the sensitivity of the equipment inside their home.
Well, I think this is a very interesting thought, too. The fact, though, the wake-up call, like you said at the onset of the show, 100 years of legacy of a public utility operating a certain way, and now you're telling people we're going to open the doors. The dynamics, the leadership dynamics must be so different in these kind of conversations. Do you find people, you know, starting to sigh with this new freedom, or are there those that are really sitting there still cynically off to the side?
I think there's a healthy mix of both.
Yeah.
I think the smart grid really is a wonderful challenge to the way in which the industry had previously operated. But I think it's going to open up tremendous opportunity, not only for the current employees, but also those that are possibly interested in joining us as future employees. And I think one of the greatest opportunities for those that are interested in power or electric ways in which you use electric devices will be to look at some of the educational programs that are up and coming.
And take us in that place, because I know that's the key project you're involved with, given the stimulus package your company has been awarded to help in that space. Talk to us about that, you know, providing the educational base so people can pursue careers in your industry.
Okay. One of the became very critically important that as we were moving forward in the investigation of smart technology, we were very much aware that the technology was going to increase the educational understanding of our current employees in a way that they probably hadn't been challenged in the past. And so when the stimulus funds came forward, there was an opportunity to actually apply for what they called internal workforce training grants. And we were very excited to do that. And we put together a team of our engineers, our scientists, and also our learning and development folks, and wrote a proposal back last November to address exactly that type of training issue that we saw that was present internal to our organization. And in addition to that, we also saw a companion opportunity to work with some of our very strong engineering colleges in the upstate New York area and bring them to the table and then develop a smart grid degree from an associate's level, bachelor, master, and PhD for the upstate New York community, the Northeast U.S., and also some of our current employees that were very intrigued by what Smart Grid was going to really present to them in terms of additional learning opportunities.
So, Mary, tell us what would be different for an education. So, in other words, I think I'm going to answer my own question, and that is to help people think not just in terms of components, but systems. Is that okay. Kind of the fundamentals?
I think that's a wonderful way to say it, because it really is a system. It's all of the individual devices, such as we talked about with the home, the electric vehicle. We're also talking about sensors that we'll put on our overhead lines that will give us visibility down that line so that in the event that we have an unfortunate incident like a car accident that takes down a pole, that communication will come back to our control center, so that they can actually visually confirm that the disturbance is at one particular location, dispatch a crew to that location, and the crew will have the proper equipment to repair that overhead feeder and any of the poles or infrastructure associated with it. We believe that that intelligence will allow us to restore service for those customers that would be infected by that pole coming down in a faster time response than is available today, and also it will increase our reliability and allow us to be better stewards of our own infrastructure.
Well, you know, and this is another common thread. One of the industries I was part of for many, many years was the aerospace and the jet engine business, and us putting prognostics on a lot of the key components inside of the jet engines, you know, first in the military engines is then the commercial, so you could predict even and be prepared. So if there was a failure by the time that or an upset, by the time that aircraft landed at, let's say, Dallas-Fort Worth, we already would have dispatched the right crew, the right parts, the right tools to be able to swap it out almost, you know, without any interruption of service whatsoever. But it's a reach. You're absolutely right. But I can see the opportunity for these different technologies that have been used in other industries to cross over your way, and that must speak to some really exciting career opportunities today as well for people that want to move across different industries.
Absolutely. What we're seeing right now with the development of this technology is that the solutions tend to be systems of solutions. You're bringing the best from the communications technology, from the information technology, from signals and systems folks, from power folks. from computer folks. And what for the very first time, what is present for them is the ability to sit around a table and really start to add their expertise to the solution that will work for our customers and certainly for our industry as well, for our shareholders. And the mention that you had just presented on the airline industry and the predictive analysis, we see that as being the next step after we are satisfied with some of the devices and the sensors. We would like to then develop algorithms to allow us to predict equipment failure and then be able to replace transformers in the field before they actually physically fail.
Absolutely, so Renan. Well, and I tell you, for someone who grew up, in, or actually we spent about 15 years in Connecticut, and we were living in a historical village on the single oldest trunk line in the state of Connecticut with big trees. And Mary, we never had any preventative work at all done on the lines. It was only after it went down, then the trucks would come in. So the end upshot was all of us that lived on that street, we all had our own separate generators because, you know, in the dead of winter with all those snowstorms, we didn't want to be caught. So I'm encouraged by hearing that, particularly in the New England area and upstate New York, that you have a market that's ripe for needing this type of predictive performance work in particular.
And you talk about the Northeast area, Dr. Larson. I think it presents a beautiful microcosm of many different environments. And, in fact, we've used both the Syracuse area and the Worcester, Massachusetts area because of their uniqueness both in population density and in geography to actually develop a pilot for this smart grid deployment. So it's not currently underway. It will be underway in the next several months. But we are looking to deploy these devices and meters in those two areas to really challenge the technology and determine which technology is best for each of those environments. So Syracuse has many areas that are flat, but many areas that are very hilly. So we want to actually determine whether or not the communication technology is stressed. If it starts to communicate around hills versus just being communicating point-to-point on a flat type of surface.
Which, you know, bottom dollar, that will be the case, right? I mean, we all know that. For those of you who may have just tuned in with us, we're talking with Dr. Mary Ridey, who's with National Grid, a power utility company based on the East Coast. And Mary's involved in the Smart Technology Center, which is all about actually the integration and ability to look at new systems to increase the effectiveness and delivery with this changing world of power consumption that we have. But also, interestingly, Mary, with her own doctorate research, has been heavily invested in the whole area, in fact, ongoing with two bachelors and two masters, right, Mary, in personal advancement in the career. So, Mary, perhaps for the next few minutes, can really talk from your perspective then about, you know, the hot jobs. I mean, we see lists on, you know, the top 10 industries going to shift or reemerging, and, you know, you hear about green, you hear about healthcare, and you hear about energy. So this work you're doing in collaboration with universities and other programs is right on top of that. So your advice to those who may be thinking of shifting, or even young people out there with a love of the sciences?
I think that's going to be very important, and I do think that energy is going to present some very unique opportunities for those folks that are interested in working with not only power technologies, volts and current and those types of parameters, but also the communications, how to best allow two-way communication to and from the utility. And for those folks, for those young folks that are very intrigued by some of the smartphones that are currently out there, the applications that are available, we see Smart Grid being able to provide that type of applications to the individual residential customer. So if in fact you and I were at a conference, Dr. Larson, and I decided I wanted to just see what my energy profile looked like in my home that would be a couple hundred miles away, if I chose to be a smart grid customer and had an application on my smart grid phone, I could actually pull it up and look at my load profile. And if I decided that that particular group of settings, for example, my air conditioning, was running a little bit too cool and costing me a little bit too much, I could remotely change the settings on my air conditioner while I was sitting in the conference. We feel that that capability is very attractive to some of the folks that are looking at careers in the energy field. It will definitely be different than your granddad's power company, because it'll require a willingness to talk with not only technicians and engineers, but engineers who are from communications fields, information fields, power fields. And it for those individuals who are interested in doing something that it's very different and that will move the industry forward, we feel that this is a wonderful opportunity for them and something they should seriously consider.
Well, I can see just with that example, too, though, that the opportunity and the need for retraining your current workforce, and I mean not just the people that are building your towers and maintain your factories, but all the services that then reach out and touch ultimately to your customers, is going to be a whole different way of interacting. Probably my kids, if they are listening to the radio show right now, though, they'd be mortified with the thought that mom could navigate and watch how much electricity is being drawn from their rooms based on perhaps how much they're using their computers and start manipulating and shutting them down.
Well, we would hope that mom wouldn't
do that.
but we also feel that from a consumer standpoint, we feel that providing them more information about what is currently available
sure.
to them at present, each consumer receives a bill, and the bill shows an aggregated number of that represents the total amount of kilowatt hours that is used in that home for 30 days. We'd like to take it a step further and say to the consumer, would you like to go behind the number and really, really understand what it is that's accumulating to that aggregate sum? And once you understand, you decide how you want to change, if you want to change. But the control
absolutely.
Really is yours.
And to me, that would be a phenomenal service because, you know, these days, of course, you can have some of the power utility companies come in and do an audit with you. But that's always looking in the rearview mirror. So to be able to do it with some kind of predictive nature, particularly because things are so, depending on where you live across the nation, of course, but typically things are really cyclical based on the seasons or the time of day. And you could start, as you say, making smart choices. I think the other piece of what you're opening my eyes to, as I can imagine, is this whole field and information technology around data security, though. I mean, this comes from this idea of, you know, I'm sure the thought of, even from your utility company, giving power, both pun intended, I guess, to your consumers as opposed to you all controlling it from the dials and widgets. That's a different dynamic right there.
And I think that's a critical point, Dr. Larson, that you mentioned. We at National Grid take security of our customers' data first and foremost as one of our main goals when we move forward with Smart Grid. We have a team of our internal folks that are coming from a specialty in the communications field. We also feel that whole area will grow in the future, and it will also be extremely exciting for folks that are currently in the communications field that may think about joining the power industry and helping us to put the right measures in place to make sure that the data is secure and that our facilities are secure. But we also believe that by allowing customers to learn a little bit more about the choices that they're making, then it allows the customer to properly budget and properly decide what's important for them.
Yeah, superb. Well, Mary, before we run out of time, I just wanted to have a bit of a dialogue here about you personally and your career choices. I mean, to start your education as a double E with an accounting degree, then get a business degree and a master's in engineering, and then a doctorate degree. What an exciting place you must be right now, sitting on the cusp of change that involves the technical side, the people side, and the dollar side.
I think that's a wonderful way to express it. That's certainly the way I feel. And I think I'll use my experience as an example. I think going forward for the folks that are interested in joining us in the energy industry, if you look at my background, one of the takeaways that I'd like them to consider is that it truly is an opportunity for continuous lifelong learning. As things change, as technologies start to emerge, for me, it was important to understand a little bit more about those technologies. And in my career, I had the luxury of working with the largest industrial and commercial customers. And as I started to work with them, my interest in learning more about the variables that they needed in order to make good business decisions encouraged me to continue on and get more education.
That's great.
And
well,
so I, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so I can see how that this idea of circling back but then jumping forward. Well, again, thanks for joining us here on the show, Dr. Mary Ridey from National Grid Corporation. We'll look forward to watching the future evolve in your hands.
Thank you very much, Dr. Larson.
You bet.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.